I wanted to wish you a joyous good morning. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we gather and with whose love we share the bond of fellowship. I can't begin to tell you how happy I am to be here today. Most of you don't know that this is my home church, years and years ago. How many of you remember my father, Miller Schmuck? Oh, gee, a lot of you here. We're going back a lot of years. And he was here for 14 years, and during that long tenure, I responded to God's call into the ministry. And in those days, as now, you need a home church to recommend you for ministry. So this church did that. Therefore, it is my home church. But that's not all. It is in this sanctuary I was ordained when Bishop Kabnick was the bishop. And that's not all. In this sanctuary, my wife and I were married. So this is pretty much holy ground for us. And so it's a special joy to be able to come back. I thank Pastor Denny for his kind invitation to be with you today. What comes to your mind when you think of Moses? Because of the movie, The Ten Commandments, whenever I think of Moses, I see Charlton Heston. You know, striding forth in his flowing robes with the long white beard, one time lifting his rod before the parting Red Sea, another time coming down off Mount Sinai carrying those stone tablets on which God wrote the Ten Commandments. Of all the people in the Bible that God called and used, Moses is the most fantastic. He was used in such dramatic fashion, more than anyone else I can think of. Well, in fact, this is the sentiment of Deuteronomy, the last two verses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of Israel. A preacher could preach two whole months of sermons just on Moses, beginning with his rather surprising and dangerous childhood, to his life in Pharaoh's court, to that incident where he murdered an Egyptian soldier, resulting in his banishment into the wilderness. There, his meeting with God through the unconsumed burning bush. And then the confrontations with Pharaoh, demanding he let the Israelites go. And then leading that mass exodus out of Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, the receiving of the Ten Commandments. My word, how God used that one man. And it all began with the birth of a baby. Folks, when we look at God's actions in the Bible and today, we notice that God's actions always have a beginning. Now, your response to that statement might be, duh. Of course God's actions have a beginning. But not necessarily so. God could accomplish what he wants to do with great displays of power out of the blue. He could Thunderous voice could come booming forth. He could have bolts of lightning and bam, it's done. But that's not the way God works. God is not a dictator. He is not a demagogue. God desires to be a partner. And the reason God's actions are started and then progressively developed is because he desires to work through people like you and me. It is God's desire to use people like us. And so the exciting thing is to know that God has called each of us here to be his partners in the work of his kingdom in this time and this place. Now, I'm going to guess that you can probably recall another time when God's action was born. Can't you? In fact, it's interesting to see the similarities between the birth of Moses and the birth of Jesus Christ. And if we could have them put up on the screen, oh, they're here. Okay, similarities. Both occurred at a time when life was very difficult for the Hebrew Israelite people. Very difficult indeed. Secondly, the rulers at both times were ruthless and capable of great evil. Thirdly, the birth of both caused the death of innocent children. And fourth, in both instances, the fate of the child was uncertain and dangerous. Can you imagine the anxiety and the fear of Moses' mother when she placed her 3-month-old son afloat on the Nile River? Can you kind of feel what she must have felt? That had to be traumatic. It might be compared a little bit to what we parents feel when our children leave home to go to college or to get married. And in a sense, we place them afloat on the world's water, not knowing where they're going to go, not knowing what will happen to them or what they will become. There was this kind of anxiety. And so in a sense, we have to say, we're not quite sure what lies ahead for any of us. What's around the corner for this church? What's around the corner for your family? We have to say, well, I don't really know. Except for the Christian, we do know something. We know from the example of Moses and David and Jonah. We know from the example of Paul and Timothy and Peter and Paul and Peter and John. From all of them and many others, we know that around the corner of our lives, there is always going to be the faithful, loving presence of God. Jesus has promised. He has gone ahead to prepare the way for us, and that He's there ready to bless us, to guide us, to deliver us, to enable us to endure whatever we face. And I think that's a wonderful, wonderful part of our Christian faith, that we have a God who cares so much for us that He has provided for whatever lies around the corner. Now, this is not just what I have to tell you. This is also what the Bible says, and there are many, many references to this promise of God's presence in the future of our lives. Here you have just a few of them. One is from Exodus 13. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire. Neither pillar left its place in front of the people. And then another one, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's one of the more glorious promises of our faith. From Romans 8, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor the present or the future, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Whatever's around the corner, nothing will take that away. A longer one from Psalm 139. Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down, you know when I rise, you are familiar with all my ways. You have laid your hand upon me. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me. And then I think we have one or two others. God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we may say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. And of course, that final pledge in Matthew 28, surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. That's just a sample. Do you recall the story about Saul? In the first book of Samuel, chapter 9, in that book, and it's a long story, I'll condense it, Saul is sent by his father to search for and bring back some donkeys that strayed away during the night. Well, the search took several days, mainly because of what happened. Saul returned home after Samuel had crowned him king of Israel. He went out looking for donkeys. He found a crown. He went out on an errand for his earthly father. He ended up on an errand for his heavenly father. You just never know what's around the corner. Even as you go home from worship today, you may come upon an opportunity to show a kindness. You may have a chance to share something of your faith. Or, as the poet has put it, you may have the chance to stop one heart from breaking, to ease one life the aching, or cool one pain, or help one fainting robin into his nest again. I'm convinced that God is at work in our lives every day, every year, to prepare us for His use. In the Christian faith and life, I don't think there is such a thing as luck or coincidence. I think God is always at work to prepare us to be His people, His saving, loving presence in this troubled world. Now, I know it's hard for us to believe that. More often than not, every day seems to us to be like a series of unrelated events without any guiding purpose or hand. But surely the example of Moses and so many others in the Bible must convince us that there's more to life than what we can see and touch. Today, July 16, 2017, is not just a day of chance happenings. God's hand is upon us. There's a divine purpose at work in our lives. There's nothing happening that is coincidental or unimportant. God has a plan for each of us, for this church, for His world. And as we are surrendered to Him, He will use us in ways we never even dreamed possible. Now, if we believe this, I assure you, it will take away a great deal of the fear that we have about the uncertainty of the future. Now, I don't know how this speaks to you this morning. About what are you anxious? What are you worried about? Is it possible that you're concerned about what the doctor's going to tell you when he reads the x-ray or gets the report from the tests? Are you concerned about what the future is for your marriage or because you're not married? Are you anxious about your job? About your health? Do you worry about what's going to become of your children or your grandchildren? What is it that scares you about the uncertainty of what's around the corner? I assure you, folks, that God will be there and that He will enable you to deal with whatever you face and to do so victoriously. There's no question about it that there are some times in life when we feel so fragile that we realize how completely dependent we are upon God. There are times when life becomes frightening and we're not really sure what we can expect in the days ahead. Then it is we can be so thankful, give praise to God for this promise that He will be with us around every corner of our lives and we need not be afraid. Back 2 years ago, when I was diagnosed with cancer and told that I had about a year to live, I assure you the way ahead looked very gloomy and scary. And I can imagine quite a number of you here have experienced something similar. You know what it's like to be told you have cancer. That is traumatic. It takes a few days to get over the shock. I know my wife and I spent a lot of time embracing each other and crying. I wasn't sure what to expect. How would chemotherapy go? What would be the result of all of that? And what all complications might there be? It was a scary time. But I'm here to tell you this morning that around every corner there was the presence of Jesus. And that in every instance He was there to undergird me, to assure, to strengthen, to give me a faith that nothing can defeat. And I can say honestly, I can never remember a moment in all of that when I was afraid. Never. Going through all of that, I read some books about cancer. And in one of them, it was something, a tremendous thought, which I've always known, but I never had quite read it. It said, for the Christian facing a terminal illness, it's always a win-win situation. If the chemotherapy is successful and your life is prolonged, that's a win. If, on the other hand, the treatment is not successful and your life is shortened, you go home to be with the Lord, that's a win. But that's the big win. But in any case, for the Christian, what's around the corner is a win-win situation. Only a little basket covered with tar and pitch separated the baby Moses from the water, and only the bulrushes along the shore shielded the child from Pharaoh's murderous hand. But I tell you, that child was as safe as if he was being held in his mother's arms, because around the bend in the Nile River, around the next corner, even in Pharaoh's court, even in Pharaoh's daughter, God was present to fulfill his purpose. And as it was for Moses, so it is for us. No matter what the future may hold, uncertain as it may be, there is this assurance that the Lord God who loves us will be there, and that in his hands we are safe. Nothing can defeat us. Only the promises of the Lord are true and faithful. And that's worth at least one. Hallelujah! There's one more reason. All of us are going to have to face the final corner that we must turn. There's that final bend in the river called death. And I'm always surprised how many people I meet who are afraid of that. They're deadly scared, so much so they don't even talk about it. But for the Christian, we actually know more about what's around that corner than we do all the others. Because of the resurrection victory of Jesus Christ, we know that around the final corner of our lives is not a dead end, but a swinging door with the wind of eternity blowing through it. We know that around the final corner is not defeat, but victory. That around the final corner is not death, but life. And so we need not fear. We can live with hope and joy, knowing that the future is in God's hands. I've always liked that statement. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And I know, without any doubt, that the Lord God is with me. And he holds me and guides me. And in the end of the day, he will welcome me home. I just had an aunt, 99 years old, who went home to be with the Lord. She prayed for that every day. She had no quality of life anymore. She wanted to go to be with Jesus. And we all prayed for the same thing, wondered why he delayed. But finally it happened. And I can see her walking hand in hand as Jesus walked her home. And what a joyous time that will be. We know that for sure about the last corner. In the meantime, all the uncertainties we face today are in God's hands. And I hope you can leave this place rejoicing that God loves you so much that he'll never leave you. He'll never let go of who you are, and that he is at work right now, even as you worship here, to use you, to inspire you, to strengthen you, to deliver you from all fear, to give you joy and fulfillment in every moment of every day. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Take a moment to reflect on the times in which God has been with you in times of need, the many times he has delivered you, has saved you, has delivered you from fear, the many times he has loved you, blessed you, and say thank you. Oh, Lord, we can't begin to find the words to thank and praise you for your faithfulness. It is truly marvelous to know that nothing can happen in this life that is beyond your care, beyond your purpose, certainly beyond your love. And so we thank you for giving us a faith that sustains us, that gives us hope and courage for whatever we face. And we praise you for the assurance that there's nothing around any corner that can ever separate us from your loving care, that can ever finally defeat us. So we praise you for the victory that you give us through Jesus Christ our Lord. In his holy name we pray. Amen.